Well, we are going on in our series called The Word. And this morning, we're going to look at the Word of God and putting it into practice. You know, as Pastor Matt did such a beautiful job kind of describing the many different ways the Word of God is used, one of the things that we understood is that in the Word of God is not just educational, it's not just historical, it really is practical. And the practical side of the Word of God is putting the Word of God into practice. I'll tell you, as a man, one thing that we want is we want to have a no-nonsense, practical way of living. We want to make sure that when we are looking at life, that 1 + 1 = 2, that there's a pragmatic way by which we get things done in our home, in our world, place of work. And so I'll tell you this morning, the Word of God is simply the Word of God that is so that it's very practical, so that I can live my faith out in such a way that God is glorified, the body of Christ is built up, and the world can see the difference in me because I've taken the Word of God and put it into practice. So this morning, I invite you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians is that book to the church in Ephesus about basic things, marriage, family, relationships. And it speaks here in Ephesians chapter 4 about the relationship between family, and especially not only husbands and wives, but parents to children. And I want us to look at verses 1 through 4 this morning. And can I just say, it does my heart good this morning to hold my dad's Bible. This is my third year that my dad is in heaven on Father's Day, and it just does something to have his word. He preached many years from this Bible, and it just does my heart good to hold his Bible, to read from his Bible this morning. It just does my heart good. And he would like that I had his Bible in my hands this morning to preach the Word of God. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, it says, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment, with a promise, so that it may go well with you and that you may enjoy long life on the earth. Fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." As I look at these four verses, that the instruction that Paul gives to the dads, the fathers within that church in Ephesus, I love this because it's such a wonderful meaning of what men that really want to lead their homes and family and community in following Christ should be about. See, back in this time, when Paul was writing to the church in Ephesus, there were some cultures going on. The culture both of the Roman Empire as well as the culture of the Jewish culture. The nature of what a Jewish man would do inside the walls of a church. And can I just tell you, when he says in verse 4, "Fathers, do not exasperate your children, but instead bring them up in the training of the Lord," he was liberating the men of this church. You see, prior to that, the Roman men were providers. Fathers were providers. They were somewhat harsh with their children. In fact, they really didn't have a whole lot of dialogue back in the day. Let me tell you, back in the day, Andy, you would not have given your daughter that $20. You might have scolded her, you might have grounded her, but you would never have been that generous with her. It was just culturally just not accepted. So fathers were very harsh, very, very unmoved, very detached from their children. It was the mother that did the nurturing. It was the mother that did the loving on of the kids. And so what was happening here? Paul was telling the church in Ephesus, "Men, do not exasperate children, instead, train them up, bring them up in the fear of the Lord." What he was doing is saying, "Guys, parent strong, love your kids, spend time with them, spend that extra moment with them, and in doing so, you will honor me, and you will bless your children." You see, fathers were used as providers, not nurturers. It was common during that period of time that, like I said earlier, that fathers were just so withdrawn. They went out, they worked hard, they came home, they provided, and that was it. So Paul challenges the men to parent differently than their culture, to be different than the culture in which they've come from or where they are right now, and parent strongly with this wonderful sense that God is teaching them how to parent like God the Father parent His children. So Paul's challenge to the men were to parent differently. To make sure that we were letting Christ be seen in and through our lives. And so this morning, I want us to take this very wonderful passage of scripture and kind of just exhaust it a little bit. Kind of bleed it out a little bit. Let God speak to us as men and women alike on the importance of making sure that we are doing everything we can do, both in the home, in the church, in our community, to build strong characters within our children. So first of all, let's understand this morning that fathers need to love unconditionally. And can I just say this? We all need to love unconditionally. We need to get to the point as Christ's followers that we are making a difference in our world, that the litmus test of our lives would be the reflection of how much love unconditionally we're giving, not only to our family and our fellow man, but to our community as well. The most quoted scripture in all of the Bible is John 3:16. But it's such a great scripture because it reminds us that God so loved the world that he forgave, that he gave his one and only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. This love that God had for us was a sacrificial love. It was an unconditional love. It sent his son Jesus to the cross so that we might experience the forgiveness of our sins. If we want to train and instruct our children in the ways of the Lord, we've got to be willing to give our love to them, this unconditional love. Yesterday, I did a trip with my wife and our youngest daughter, Gina, and we did a quick round trip to Chicago. We got up in the morning, headed to Chicago, stayed there 6 hours, came back because it was my grandson's third birthday party. People go, what in the world? You spent just as much time on the road or longer on the road just to get to the party. Well, let me tell you, that's what unconditional love does. You go the extra mile. So when kids show up, when grandkids show up, what you do is you make sure that you've done the right things. You've parented strong, even grandparents stronger. That they know that there's a love that goes between the miles that separate us. But I'll tell you, it was kind of fun to see my son, who's now a father, love, nurture, instruct, correct our grandson Emerson. And let me tell you, I don't want to correct as a grandfather. That's left for the dads. I just want to love on my grandson. But I'll tell you, as I got to see through the eyes of our grandfather to my son and then to my grandson, the beauty of what happens when you love and nurture unconditionally. It was a wonderful thing. I was able to see that my son truly is engaging in his son. He's truly bringing him up with training and instruction in the Lord. And it was just fun to see this unconditional love continue to go from one generation to the next generation. But I'll tell you, when God gave his son Jesus, when he gave us the free gift of eternal life through his son Jesus, through the punishment and the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus hanging on a cross, he loved unconditionally. He gave unconditionally. He surrendered unconditionally because love will make you do that. This great salvation that is offered not for just me, but for all of us, is a wonderful relationship. It brings us into this community of being Christ's followers if we are willing to embrace this free gift of eternal life. God so loved the world that he gave, and as we receive that gift and we give back our lives to Jesus, what happens is there's a beautiful relationship that develops. Not only do we grow in this unconditional love, but we get heaven at the end of our lives. I tell you, it's not enough just to say, I love you, God. Love will move you into action. I love you, God, is the start. But in the I love you, God, we need to move to the next level and say, I commit my life to you, God, because I do love you. I do surrender my will over to the will of the Father because I do love you, and I give up my life fully surrendered to be a Christ follower because I do love you. As I said earlier, although my father is not here this morning, he's with the Lord in heaven. One thing I do know about the impact of my father, he's right here in this room, in his son. He's in port here in Michigan through my brother and my sister. He's out west in Montana through my other brother, because my dad poured this unconditional love into each and every one of his children. I'm not boasting. I'm celebrating that all of my brothers and sisters are Christ followers today, due in part because Dad modeled what unconditional love looked like inside the home. My dad didn't just preach the message of love and forgiveness. He showed it. He modeled it. I'll tell you, as men, this morning, I know sometimes love can kind of get funky because it's emotional and it's got a lot of movements to it that sometimes we as men don't want to identify with that kind of emotion. But I'll tell you this morning, gentlemen, as we get in touch with a God that loves us so much and we're willing to love one another unconditionally, there's such a beautiful rawness and brokenness when men are willing to love their children, willing to love their families, willing to love their church and their community, because what happens is God's love is poured in and through your life and out through your life. The second thing that I see here is fathers forgive sacrificially. Men forgive sacrificially. In Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 and 22, Peter comes up to Jesus and asks, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother or sister who sins against me? Up to seven times?" Jesus answered, "I tell you the truth, not seven times, but 77 times." Now talk about sacrificial forgiveness. That's what Jesus was calling his disciples to do. Forgive as he forgave. In fact, the central theme of the entire New Testament, the central theme of the cross of Christ, is this area of forgiveness. Willing to realize, even though it's unfair at times, forgiveness is what God calls us to do. As dads, as leaders in our church, in our community, we must be willing to forgive those that have wounded us. Even if they've never asked us for forgiveness, we must just exercise this wonderful gift of forgiveness that was given to us and now given to others because Christ has forever changed us. I will tell you, gentlemen, forgiveness is probably one of the things that kind of sit in our craw a little bit. When someone wrongs us, when someone hurts us, when someone hurts one of our children or our family members, it's very easy for us to kind of hold on to unforgiveness or bitterness. We seem to build a wall of protection around us. And can I just encourage you this morning, just as Jesus told Peter that he needs to have this unconditional forgiveness, can you do the same? Can you forgive the one that has wounded you? Can you forgive yourself for the things that you've done that have really messed up other people's lives? Will you just start understanding that this forgiveness that God the Father has given you is also the very thing that he wants you to give away to other people, including yourself? You see, if we really want to be men of God, if we really want to be led by the Spirit to be all that the Lord would have us to be, we must understand the beauty of forgiveness. Just as God gave his Son to the world so that we might experience forgiveness, may we too, as men, learn the beauty of forgiving those that have hurt us, those that have wounded us, even if that includes ourselves. And then the third point, because it's getting warm in here. Fathers, lead with courage. Men, we need to lead with courage. In the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, I love this passage of scripture. It says, "Be strong and very courageous. Be careful to obey all the Lord law that my servant Moses gave to you. Do not turn from to the right or to the left, that you may be successful wherever you go. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night, so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Have I not commanded you, be strong and courageous? Do not be afraid. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Tell you, I need to say this to the young men, the young fathers of our congregation this morning. Parenting in the 21st century is tough. It's hard. It takes work. But can I tell you this morning, take courage. Be courageous as you lead your family. Have the courage to stand up and let Christ be seen and heard in your daily life and choices. Have courage to swim upstream in a downstream culture. Have courage to say yes to your yeses and no to your no's. Courage to declare, just like Joshua declared in Joshua chapter 24, verse 15, "But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourself this day whom you will serve, whether your gods your ancestors served beyond the Euphrates or the gods of the Amorites and those that you are living. But for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." There needs to be a declaration, men, this morning, that we collectively, individually, stand with courage and say, "For me and my household, we will serve the Lord." The more I read online, and even as I read in the local news, I am more convinced that this generation needs godly men and women to lead with courage. I know in recent days we've heard a lot about what's going on in America, what's going on between the borders of both Mexico and Canada, and there's a whole lot of mess going on right now. And I'll tell you, as men of God, as women of God, as people of God, we must be strong and courageous. We must make sure that we are following God and not mere men. We must make sure that we are allowing this love that's unconditional, this forgiveness that's unconditional, and have this courage to lead strong, both in our homes, in our communities, and in our church. You see, this morning, as the Apostle Paul reminds both parents, but especially fathers, in Ephesians chapter 6, "Do not exasperate your children, instead bring them up in the training and instruction of the Lord." You see, this Bible that we carry in and out of church, this Bible that we read at our nightstand or in our chair at home, is our instruction book. It leads us, it guides us, it gives us direction. It tells us things that if we just test it and try it and allow God to speak through His Word, He will give us directions. So men of this church, I encourage you to read the Word of God. Put it into practice. Allow God to speak into your life through the Scriptures, and then from that, go out and make a difference within our world. Shall we stand together? God, this morning, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that is represented in this church. God, I thank you this morning that you are a God that speaks through your Word. That, Lord, as we try it and test it and believe it, and put it into practice, that God, you show up in a beautiful way and you lead through your Word. Lord, I pray a blessing upon the men of this congregation. Lord, just like beef stick, may we be tough but flexible. May we have a little kick in us, but may that kick not be the things of this world, but the Spirit of God that lives within us. So God, I pray a blessing upon the men of our congregation, on their families, upon our church, and upon our community and world. God, use your body of Christ to make a difference this week. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.